All right, shalom everybody. If you were watching for the Bible study last night, you'll be happy to know Pastor Ben is back in town. And so the Wednesday night Bible study went great. Pastor Ben's going to upload it tonight or sometime this afternoon, and you'll be able to see a very important Bible study. So I'm hoping that you all get to watch that Bible study, very important Bible study. We finished grading all of our tests, I believe. I don't know if Jaqua sent me any additional ones. I haven't checked or seen any additional ones come in. Okay, some more are coming in. Now, see, if they're late now, it's very hard to do because we're supposed to review the test today. But if you already sent them in before today, it'll be on the thing. So any tests that are received after this class cannot be received. You understand? Okay, so all those tests we'll see before that came in before today's class, and we will go over those tests. And we're going to go over the answers today. That's why you can't do the tests after today, okay? Well, let's first of all open up in a word of prayer. And we're going to say the Shema prayer today because we want to not only hear but obey. Did you know that's what Shema means? Shema means hear and obey. It doesn't just mean hear, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. A matter of fact, the same way you say obey is the same way you say hear in Hebrew. So if I say I need you to obey, I need you to Shema. And then if I say I need you to hear this, I say I need you to Shema. So Shema is the same word in the biblical Hebrew for to hear and obey. Now, let's open up in prayer and with the Shema prayer. And we're going to start off like this. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. One more time. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Vechavata et Adonai Elocha, Bekov levavaka, uvkol nefishka, uvkol mechodeka. Vehayu hadevarim haeli asher noki mishvacha hayom al levavka. Veshanatam levanecha. Vedirbarta bam beshiftecha bevetecha uvletecha vederek. Ushokvika ukumika ushartam laot al yadecha. Vehayu letutafod baina enecha. Uftaftam al mizuzot beteka uvishareka. Baruch Shemcha Hayom Elohim Yeshua, our Lord and our Savior. We pray for the nation of Israel. We pray, Father God, for your plan, Father God, and we thank you for being in the family of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right. Now, the first order of business is we are going to review the tests. Okay? And so you will know how the testing scores went, and you'll know where you went wrong. We had very good scores. I think we had about five people that got 100. So it was only about five, but we got quite a few students. But only about five got 100. And then from the 90 to 98, which is like a still an A, there was additional about six, okay? But then the rest of them came into the B plus or the B or the C plus or the C. And then we had one young person who had failed the test, but they got back to me and let me know why. So I allowed him to retake the test, and I went over his test, his test today, and he received an 89, but you lose 5 for turning it in late, and then you lose an additional 3 for having to retake it. So he ended up with 81, and he was still able to get a B because he did very good. So I want to congratulate that student, and he knows who he is. I don't want to shout anybody out, but that was an excellent job. I allowed him to retake it for very, very special reasons, and he had emailed me. So now I want to go over the questions and the answers. So here are the questions. Are you guys ready? It says, please write the 22 Hebrew alphabets. So if you wrote all 22 Hebrew alphabets, and they were not only in perfect order, but they were also written correctly, you received 10 points for that. Now, some people wrote it not the Hebrew way. You're supposed to like right to left. Some people wrote it this way. Okay, I didn't take off for that. But I have to talk to Jack while I said, I don't know if we can allow that to continue. You have to write from right to left and not from left to right. So, but anyway, we didn't take off of that. So if you got them all right, you still got a 10. And then it says, how many ending letters are there in Hebrew? How many Sophit letters are there? And it says, what are they called? So you have to actually write the letters, and you had to tell me how many there were. So if you said that there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sophit letters, and you wrote all 5 Sophit letters, then you received a 5 points, okay? So if you got the first answer correct with the, you got 10. Now every question after that is going to be 5 points, okay? So, in the study of Abraham, what role is Abraham playing in the typology? And if you wrote God, that is perfect. You got a 5 points, okay? Now, I know the question sounds simplistic because you guys are going through the question and answering, but I gave a blank one of these tests to a pastor, and he had no idea what the heck I was talking about. But he had Doctor of Divinity. So I was like, did they take any Hebrew at Doctor of Divinity? He says, yeah, but I don't understand any of these questions, right? But he said, I remember a few Hebrew letters, but you know, I only took one class in Hebrew. It was only forced on us to take one Hebrew class, and then we moved on, okay? So he didn't know any of this. So I'm just saying, as you're going through these answers, they're simplest to you only because you've studied and you understand, okay? Because you ask most pastors, how many Sophit letters are in the Hebrew alphabet? And they're going to go, huh? Yeah. So be very proud of yourself, okay? So the 5 Sophit letters, and you wrote them, you would get a 5. In the study of Abraham, the movie, the role of Abraham is God. So you got 5. What is Isaac's role in the typology? Isaac's role is Yeshua. You would get 5. What is the name of Abraham's top servant? If you wrote Eleazar, you would get 5. What does his name mean, and what role is he playing? If you wrote that his name means helper, if you wrote Holy Spirit, no. If you wrote his name means helper, and he's playing the role of the Holy Spirit, then you got an additional 5. Okay, how many books are in the Bible and why? How many books are in the Bible? 66 books. Why 66? Because there are 22 Hebrew letters, and each segment of 22 represents a part of the Trinity. So 22, 22, 22, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You have a perfect book of 66 books, each letter representing a book, okay? So anyway, if you wrote 66 books, and if you wrote, if you just wrote 66 books, that's one. But if you said 66 books because of the Trinity, then you would also get another 5. Okay. One day, this is a statement you had to write, true or false. One day is equal to 100 years. Okay? True or false with the Lord. If you wrote true, you got it wrong. If you wrote false, because 1,000 years is to a day with the Lord. Okay? What does Boker Tov mean in Hebrew? Someone here meant your name. And I was like, nope, zero. Boker Tov means good morning. So it says, what does Shalom mean in Hebrew? Now, some people said hello. Some people said peace. So we weren't very hard on it. We said if they said hello, or I told if they said hello or they said peace. But the word shalom actually means peace, but it's used as hello and it's used as goodbye. Okay. 11. What does yom in Hebrew mean in hayom? So yom would mean day. Hayom would mean today. Okay. So if you wrote yom and hayom, you would got 5. Okay. Write in a few words. Number 12. Write in a few words as possible what is a typology. And if you just wrote the word, it's a foreshadow, that would be perfect. Some people wrote it's a foreshadow. Okay. But it's a story told to foreshadow a future story. Okay. Now you would get a 5. It says, what does the number 8 mean to God and his creation? 8 means to God what? A new beginning and salvation. Okay? If you wrote both of those, you would have gotten a 5. It says, what is the numerical value of Jesus' name? If you got that wrong, I failed you for the whole test. if you wrote 888, you got 5 points. If you did not write that, you would lose your 5. Okay. Give one Bible verse that confirms that 1,000 years is a day to God. If you wrote 2 Peter 3:8 or Psalms 90 verse 4, you would be correct. Okay. In Leviticus chapter 23, this is question 16. In Leviticus chapter 23, gives you 7 feasts. One is Shabbat. It says, what are the other 6? So if you said Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, Yom Teruah, which is Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles, then you would have gotten all of them right, and that would be 5 points. Okay. In number 17, in the Passover from Egypt, okay, in the Passover from Egypt, tell me 2 ways the lamb represents Jesus Christ. If you say the blood on the door as they escape, yes. And if you say that he was the sacrificial lamb, that would be a yes, okay? So either or any typology that refers to Jesus as the lamb in the Exodus Passover story would get you 5 points. Okay, we're on 18. How many days after Passover from Egypt represents Shavuot? So after they leave Egypt, on the 50th day after they leave, well, I just gave you the answer. It's 50. Okay, to Shavuot is 50. And that would be confirmed in the book of Acts, because Jesus walked among them for 40 days, then 10 days, then he ascended, and 10 days later, the Holy Spirit was given. Okay? So that is the foreshadowing of Shavuot. Okay. What does, number 19, what does the feast day Yom Kippur mean for Israel and the world? Okay? And if you wrote the covering of the sin, okay, and the coming of Messiah, you got a 5. If you wrote the atonement of sin, and the coming of Messiah, you got 5. Okay. Last question. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Where is this prayer found in the Old Testament? If you wrote Deuteronomy 6:4, you are absolutely right. And that would be it, and you would have 100 points if you got it all, and if not, we deducted accordingly. If you turned it in late, we took off 5 points for turning it in late. So if you got a 95, you would have got a 90. And if you took the test over, it would cost you 3 points, and that's because of the grace of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then you'd get to lose another five for turning in late, okay? So there it is. And I hope you guys are satisfied and happy with your scores. And I'll look at the other tests that have been turned in before today, and we will grade them and get those back to you. Praise God. Shalom. Okay. Now, we want to get back to... Oh, I can't wait till you guys see the Bible study. That was last night. Pastor Ben will see it today. But I want us to get back to the gospel in the stars. And I brought my book again so that you guys could see it. So some people have asked me, this is the book. As you can see, I read my books. That's what I tell everybody. If I buy a book, I'm not going to, you're not going to have me have a book and not read it, because the purpose people wrote them were for you to read them. Now, some people I'll start writing and I'll see the content and maybe I won't finish it, but most books I finish, I'll read and finish. So this is E.W. Bullinger, and that's B-U-L-L-I-N-G-E-R, and it's called The Witness of the Stars. It is the best book on this subject that I know of, the most detailed of all of them that I know of. Now, he was, there's only one real mistake in here, and I'll let you find it, and then, but I corrected it inside of my book, and that'll be, because in one thing he said, the church is not the bride of Christ, and I went, oh my goodness, how can you be so smart and so uneducated at the same time? So that's the only thing I say. If you're going to buy this book, if you read that, make sure you put a correction on that, because John confirms to us that Jesus Christ is the bride, and that the church, I mean, that Jesus Christ is the groom, and that the church is the bride. Okay, now I want us to look at, what page was that in on our Bible? I mean, on our book. Okay, Gospel in the Stars is in on page 44. I want to talk to you about the specific thing of the Virgin Mary and the child that she is going to have, and the role of the child that she is going to have, okay? I want to do this because of a scripture that I read last night that was in the Song of Songs. Let me see if I have it in this other book. In the Song of Songs, in chapter 8, very beautiful scripture here, and it says, let's see, when the Shulamite went down to the, and I saw the, I knew the desire of my heart had lifted me above the juice of the pomegranate. Okay, I'm going to use my other Bible, and then I'll just find it. Okay, so, okay, now we know that the Virgin Mary is representing what the pagans call Virgo, okay? And, but this is something that Satan was hoping that we would never find out. You have to understand that. There's three things in scripture that Satan hopes you never, ever investigated it. And they're so important that you know about them that Satan made them almost satanic for you to even look at them, so that you could get the knowledge from them that God really wanted you to have. And one of them is the gospel in the stars, the Matzaroth in the stars telling us the gospel. So how God, how Satan tried to hide it from you was to make it a satanic thing about zodiac signs and witchcraft. And then for the rest of your life, you would go, well, even if you found Jesus Christ, you would say, I'm never going to be into that because I don't want to look at any zodiac signs. And what you would, what Satan would do, would be doing is said, okay, I've hidden this because now they think this is something from me, and so therefore they're never going to investigate it. The other two things is the Star of David. The Star of David is so beautiful that God, how God chose the star, how he numerically valued the star, how he put the star on the top of the pillars in Solomon's temple, and everything about the Star of David shows you that this star is from God. But pagans took it, they put a circle around it, and they started doing witchcraft. And then now some people who are very uneducated about the Star of David will say, oh no, the Star of David is satanic. You should, a matter of fact, I used to have a Star of David right behind me. And so many people told me, oh, don't he know that that star is satanic? So I had to teach on it, but it became such a mess. I was like, you know, I'm gonna just put my star in the office. Because I'm tired of answering 1,000 questions from 1,000 people who haven't taken the star. I taught on it. I always just send them to the... Okay, and the last of the hidden is the pyramid, which is like just even the book of Isaiah said, God says, I'm going to put a monument in Egypt at the border in the middle. And that's just where the pyramid lies. It rises at the border in the mirror of in the middle of Mitzarim, because there's two parts. Mitzarim, I-M, is an S in Hebrew. You know that. Mitzarim is Egypt. So there's Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt. The pyramid is right in the middle where God said it would be. So anyway, those are the things. So in the book Psalms, Song of Songs, we read this incredible scripture last week. And this beautiful scripture was talking to us about the Lord's coming and here it is at the end. I saw the desire of my heart came and took me away. Yes, here it is. Now, this is what it says. I'm reading from Song of Songs. I'm reading from chapter 6. And I'm reading from verse 11. And the church is the one who's speaking here, because you have Israel speaking, the church, and you have Jesus. These are the three characters in this Song of Songs, the whole 8 chapters. And so in chapter 6, verse 11, the church speaks up, and the church says, I went down to the grove of nuts to look for new growth in the valley, okay? Meaning the almond trees and everything. And it says, to see if the vines had budded or the pomegranates were in bloom. And then it says, before I realized it, my desire set me among the royal chariots of my people. Now, when someone reads that and you don't know the Matzaroth, you'll say, oh, she was there looking for the early fruit of the heart of the summer, and she said her desire, meaning her own desire, okay? And it says, because she says, my desire set me among the royal chariot. Well, someone may read it like, oh, her own desire set her. No, my desire, the desired one of the nations, is the name of Jesus in the Matzaroth. And so when you read it in Hebrew, koma, which is the name for the desired one, is the one who set her in a royal chariot and took her away. Okay? So then you can even solidify even more that this scripture is talking about the rapture of the church. Then, of course, in the next one, the nation of Israel says to her, come back, Shulamite. Come back. It says, that we may gaze upon you. And then Jesus is the last one to speak and says, why are you sitting here gazing at the Shulamite, which means perfect peace? Okay? So why are you gazing at the Shulamite at perfect peace? It says, are you going to dance as you did in Mihamim? Which means that, okay, you crowned the wrong king before, and now that she's gone, you're going to do the same thing that you did before. You're going to crown the wrong king, and that king is gone. Now, what I want to concentrate on, the fact that God said that, she says that the desire, her desire that set her among the royal chariots. So I'm going to read in this book here, in the book of The Witness of the Stars. And of course, we're going to go to, I'm going to try to put this up to your screen real fast, okay, Pastor Ben? Now, this right here is the, I don't know how well you can see that. That's the Virgin. See, that's how the Virgin would look. And see, she has the branch in her hand. She's standing there, and that's how the Virgo appears into the sky every September. She appears in the sky. Okay, now, when she appears in the sky, remember what I told you about the constellations. There are 12 apostles up there. You understand? Jesus did not just choose 12 apostles for no reason. There are 12 apostles up there. And what is the responsibility of the apostles? Preach the gospel. So Virgo is one of the apostles, but it has three Dacon star constellations that are now going to preach the gospel. The very next Dacon that he preaches is this. Put this one up to the screen. The child, the woman with the child. Can you see that on your screen?
Absolutely.
All right, perfect. Now, as you're looking at that, that's a child sitting on the seat of Virgo. Okay? So now, the name of this star constellation is called Coma. And guess what Coma means? The desired one, okay? And it says here, the ancient name of the constellation Coma, the desire or the longed for. So that says everybody's longing for him. Everybody's desiring him. Who? The Messiah to come and to free us from sin. So the second, the Dacon of Virgo, which means the subplot of Virgo, is that a child is coming, and this child is going to be the desire of all the nations. Okay? So now, here, let's read. I'm gonna go here and read Haggai chapter 2. Okay? We're going to send you something, because Pastor Ben has it, and it's the full story of all the star constellations, and you'll have it on I think it's about 3 pages, that you can go through each constellation, and you'll see the rapture in there, you'll see the war against Christ and the three-headed snake of the tribulation. Okay, that's Hosea. I'm looking for Haggai. Okay, wow. There it is, Haggai. And we're going to be in chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, let's see if it reads properly. Okay, chapter 2, verse 7, it says, I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. I'm going to read it again. God says, I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations, the coma of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. So if you're reading that and you don't understand that the desired one is Christ, now you have to go, what does he mean? The desire is coming. What desire? It's another name for Jesus Christ. He is the desire of all nations. So, of course, when I get to Song of Song and I see the church going down looking for the early fruit, and she says, while I was looking, the desire, my desire appeared and swift me up into the chariot and took me up into the chariot. And then she doesn't even say into the chariot. She said into the royal chariots and took me up. And then you got Israel saying, come back, come back, you know. And so you get this picture that there is a rapture taking place in this chapter, letting you know that this event is going to happen. Okay. And so the desired one is the one that is coming, okay? That is the second of those two, decons. I mean, that's the first of the decons. Now let's look at the second decon, because Virgo is the apostle, and Virgo's preaching, so she preached to us about coma, and now Virgo wants to speak again, and Virgo comes to this star constellation. Now, look at this star constellation. You're going to say, oh, it looks like, don't. If you say it looks like Sagittarius, I will forgive you because you came out of the world. But it's also, that one is called Centurius, okay? Now, let's look at what Centurius' story is. Centurius means despised sin offering. You see that? So, the second decon of Virgo says that the sin offering that's coming into the world is called in the Hebrew bezeh, the word bezeh, which means he will be despised. What does Mary mean in Hebrew, in Greek? What does Mary mean in Greek? They will rebel. Okay? Imagine giving the mother of Jesus the name, they will rebel. Because they're going to rebel. Why? Because he's despised. They don't want him as their Messiah. They want to continue in the law. They love their position. So they said, so the second constellation, or the second of the decons for Virgo is Centurius, which means the despised one, okay? Now we're going to look at the last of the decons for Virgo. And here it is. Now, it's boots, okay? And it don't mean what you wear in your shoes. Boots is a word in Hebrew. And we're going to give you the title of that word, but we're showing you. It doesn't look like a guy coming with a sword to fight a war. Yes. Now, he comes with this sickle. Remember, the sickle is first to gather up the fruit. That's amazing, right? He comes with a sickle in his hand in the end. Okay? And a spear. And now, boots means, in Hebrew, I'm going to give you the Hebrew. It means in the Hebrew root, it's the Hebrew root of the word bow. And bow in Hebrew means to come, or the coming. Okay? So, boots in Hebrew means the coming one. Okay? So, let's go back over Virgo as she preaches the gospel to us. Yes.
Joshua 7.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think is a...
Yeah.
He says reincarnation tells us that we are the great from the past.
You can cancel reincarnation because there's no such thing as reincarnation, because the scripture says it is given unto man once to live, once then to die,
and then the judgment. So there is no such thing as reincarnation, as much as people would love to believe that tremendous lie that Satan started preaching. But there's no reincarnation, okay? So, anyway, here we are. We have the story of Virgo. So what is Virgo telling? Listen to me. The only truth is the Word of God, okay? How do we know that the only truth is the Word of God? Because it tells us what's going to happen before it happened so that you will know that it came from God. It is the Bible that told us that Egypt, that the Hebrews would be in Egypt for 40 years. It is the Bible that in Deuteronomy 30 verse 5 that told us that the Hebrews would be disobedient and would be kicked out of the land. It is the Bible that tells us in 1948, before we even switched the calendars over to a 1948, that it would be 1948 when they came back into the land, okay? It is the Bible that says 19 years after they come back into the land that they would get Jerusalem back. And 1948, 1967, 19 years later it happens. It is the Bible that said that Hitler would come in 1939 and by 1946 would be killed and his 10 henchmen would also be killed. It is the Bible that told us that in the book of Esther before it even happened, okay? Thousands of years before it happened. So the person who wrote the Bible is God. He doesn't have a reincarnation story in there, okay? So if you find a story where, you know, this guy lived 400 years ago and then all of a sudden he came back as a turtle. And I mean, if it's in the Bible, we'll believe it. But if it's not in the Bible, don't believe it. There's only one truth and there is a liar. And the scriptures say he's the author of lies. And that's one of the lies. Okay. I can't stand lies. Okay. Now, so Virgo tells us that she's going to have a son. He's going to be the desire of all the nations. But he's also going to be despised and rejected. But don't worry about it, because he's going to come again as a victorious king. He's going to come again and he's going to fight. And he's going to come with the sickle, because the sickle is to take the harvest, that vine that God planted. He planted a beautiful vine. And he wanted to come back and get grapes from the vineyard. But when he came, the vine was not producing fruit. And Israel is not producing fruit. It's the figs, the representative of Israel. When he came, there was no fruit on the tree. He said, cut it down. Okay, so you have to understand, God is the one who wrote the book. And he is the one who is telling the story. So he tells you that there, every month of Tishri, Virgo is going to appear in the sky. And when Virgo appears in the sky, she's going to also tell you a story of her son, the desired of the nation, and he's going to be despised because the mother's name of Virgo is going to be Mary. So this child is going to be despised by the people, and they're going to kill him. He's going to be a sacrificial offering. And then it says, but don't worry, he's going to come again victorious with weapons in his hand. Okay? That's the gospel. Now, how much time we have, Pastor Ben?
15.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on. Centurious, the victorious one. Now we're going to move on. Okay. Here we are, and we are here in the constellation of Libra. Okay. Libra. Okay. The Hebrew name is Mozanaim, and it means the scale for weighing, okay? It's
not for justice.
It's not justice. The Libra doesn't have anything to do with justice. It has to do with a scale for weighing. Now, what did they use a scale for weighing for? It's called a purchase scale, okay? So now God is presenting to the world in the star constellation a purchase scale. What is God trying to tell us? Your redemption is going to cost something. Remember, forgive us for our debt. Okay? Some people say, forgive us our sins. I always say, no, don't say that. Okay? Don't say, forgive us our sins. Your sins had a price on them. Okay? So you're asking God to forgive us for our debt as we forgive our debtors. You understand? So now God is putting a scale in the sky and saying, this is going to cost you something. Okay? And now who's going to pay the cost for it? Because I don't know if you have enough money. You know, but let's see who has now. So now Libra wants to preach to you, okay? Libra wants to preach to you. So here is Libra's first decan. That's right underneath the scale. Look at that. That's called the Southern Cross. Okay? That Southern Cross is in the sky. It's called the Crux. Let's read about it. A little bit at least, okay? Now, this is, wow. Listen what it's called. It says, the Hebrew name for Adam was cutting off. After 3 and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Okay? So the crux means the cross endured. It doesn't just mean the cross. It means the cross endured. So now he has to endure the cross. The penalty is not just the cross. Somebody has to endure it, okay? So that is the first decan that the purchase scale tells you. Let me tell you another secret about Hebrew culture. You can't just go and say, well, in the ancient culture, you couldn't just go and say, hey, I want to marry your daughter. You would have to go and talk to the father, then you would have to give a bridal fee. So you couldn't just go and just, you know, empty handed. You had to come with a bridal fee. And then you gave what you felt the bridal fee for your bride would be. And of course, I hope it was a good sum. And then they would bring the bride out and then she would have to make the decision whether she wanted to marry you or not. If you guys decided that you wanted to get married, they would bring out a bottle of wine. You would take a glass and she would take a glass and you would sip from it. And then you would promise to each other that you will not sip the wine again until the wedding day, which is what Jesus did at the wedding supper. He said, I will not drink again with you, my dear beloved bride, until I see you again at the wedding feast. This is Hebrew culture. Okay, so God is always telling you his story. Not only in the scriptures, but in the culture that he's given to the nation of Israel. That's why I went back to the guy and he says, hey, you started Jubilee and Nisan and you can't do that till Yom Kippur. We talked about that last night, Pastor Ben. Okay, let's look at the next story that the scales wanted to teach us, because the purchase scales wanted us to know that the purchase for this bride is you're going to have to endure the cross, okay? And of course, Christ did, because he said it is finished, and that means he endured it. Okay, now you come to this. This is awesome. I forget this guy's name, and I don't even like to say his name too much anymore, but I want you to look at this and see if you can put that on. That is a lamb. That is a dead lamb sheared. And when a lamb dies, I want you to look this up. When a lamb dies, their tongue falls out. So when a lamb dies, and then you have this lamb laying on its side, and there's a spear in its side. I don't know if you could see that. There's a spear in its side. That lamb, that dead lamb with a spear in its side is representing Jesus, the Messiah. Now, I can't show you this right now because I don't have the picture. But many times in ancient Egypt, they would have this picture of this dead lamb with the tongue hanging out in a lot of the pictures of the nation of Egypt. Now, in Egypt, the lamb was God. Okay? The Lamb was the ultimate constellation of the stars. Now, you've got to understand, how does Egypt have a story of Isis, her son Horus, okay, and then her husband who died and came back as Horus? So she has this god son, and Isis is supposed to be the godmother of this god son. Where does Catholics get the idea that Mary has equal billing with Christ? Because they brought it in from a pagan source. Because in Babylon, Zemarius and Tumas, oh, you are now going to be the god mother and the god son. You know, the mother is not God. Okay, Mary is not God. The son is God. Okay, so you have this lamb, and in Egypt they were stealing the constellations, because where did they learn it? In Babylon. Because Babylon was stealing the constellations and making up their own gods. Then, after that, God came down and struck Babylon and dispersed all the nations out. One of the nations went was Egypt. And in Egypt, guess what they did? Let's do what they did in Babylon. Let's corrupt the star constellations. We'll make up our own mother-son story, and we'll even make the Lamb the number one god of our land, because from the constellations it tells us that the Lamb is the creator of all things. Wow. They didn't just make the Lamb God, so they built a huge 9-foot lamb in Egypt, and they put the Pharaoh underneath it, and they called it Amon-Ra, and everybody had to worship the Lamb and the Pharaoh, and no one was allowed to touch a lamb in Egypt. And if you ever touched a lamb, you were touching God, and you would be a penalty of death. So that's why God said, okay, now you're coming out of Egypt. I wanted you to take those lambs, and I want everybody to kill one, and then you barbecue it, and then you eat it. And then everybody in Egypt was going crazy, saying these people have lost their minds. But God was proving to them that the animal is not God. I was telling you a story in the star constellation, because my son, when I appear, is going to be the lamb, and he will truly be God, but he's coming as a sacrificial offering. And when he dies, the lamb dies. So they put the lamb there with the tongue, with the spear going into his side, because letting you know that he's how he's going to die. Okay, let's look at the next story that the scales want to tell us, okay? Oh my goodness, look at this. The third story of the scales is this. What's going to happen to the lamb? What's going to happen to the lamb? He's going to become king. So the whole meaning of whoever comes and pays the price of that scale, of that weighing scale, is going to become, in the end, the king. And the name of that star is called Corona, not the beer. All right. So Corona means the crown, and it means the crown bestowed. OK, for the suffering of death, it says, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Hebrew chapter 2, verse 9. So from the cross, he's going to end up with a crown on his head. And that is the story that the scales want to tell us. OK. Now you will come to the next story, and that's going to be Scorpio. Okay? We're going to talk about Scorpio next week, because we only got 5 minutes, okay? Scorpio is an interesting story. You got to come back. Same bat channel. Same bat time. You know, that's me and Pastor Ben are about the same age, so we always remember the same TV shows. So,
But next week, you've got to come back and learn about Scorpio, because you're going to learn more about the battle for the bride and what's going on in the tribulation through Scorpio, okay? And God's redemptive plan for man through the stars, through the constellations, okay? If you can, go online and purchase this book, The Witness of the Stars, and is E.W. Bullinger, The Witness of the Stars, okay? And you can read the whole book yourself. It's very intense reading. I mean, when I read this, I could understand that God did not mean for man to be the one to present the barley harvest every year. Because in the spring, as the sun set, the virgin would rise in the east with the barley in her hand. So then you would know when spring came, because you would see the Virgo rising with the barley. So then you would know when spring starts, okay? So every year, God did not depend on the barley harvest to start the year. He depended on the rising of the constellation of Mary with the barley in his hand. And then you knew it was spring. You understand? So these are just things that when you learn God's story in the stars, you're going to see how you can't readjust things, because the story of God already has a base for us to live by. Okay? So praise the Lord. We're going to talk about that next week. And, oh, this is great news. This week, you're going to get a Hebrew lesson to start speaking Hebrew better every I think every other day. I'm going to send you a Hebrew conversation. And with that Hebrew conversation, I want you to learn that conversation so that you can start learning your Hebrew, okay? And so we're going to start that. I'm going to send you out the conversation, and then we're going to start learning that conversation next week. So you'll learn how to greet someone in Hebrew. You'll learn how to order in a restaurant in Hebrew. You'll learn how, and as we're going through it, because now you have a base of words, and now I'm going to teach you next week how to write in plurals, how to write in present, past, and future, and also how to write in plural. So we're gonna start really learning to add more to the base of the Hebrew that we've already learned, because now you have a nice solid base. Now you need the plurals, and now you need the verbs, and now you need the situations of where am I, how do I do this if I'm there. If I'm in the airport, how do I say what time does my plane take off? All these things we're gonna learn, okay? All right, so God bless you guys, and let me pray us out. I could do this without the thing, because I know the song. The song is, this is a great song, okay? Because this is how the blessing says. He says to Moses, when you bless my people, say to my people, it says, tell them that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then the song, which I love it as a song, is Yivareka Adonai v'yishmareka, Yair Adonai panavilecha v'chuneka, V'yasei Adonai panavilecha, V'yasim l'kai shalom. So that's it, and we'll see you guys next week. God bless.
They want me to show them what you have on your
what? On what? Oh, on the.
So I told them I would show them.
Okay, that's all the names of God in Hebrew. You guys know that Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rafi, Jehovah Tishkanu. Zedechnu. Someone got on me about saying Tzadik. But that's the only way I could do that letter, because it's kind of like pizza. It's not a Z like zoo. It's like tz. Pizza.
Good night.
Okay.